Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward, and we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Don't worry if you missed our grand opening. It's not too late to get your young athlete training at Champions Village in Fenton. Champions Village is the brand new state-of-the-art baseball and softball training center that features batting cages, interactive hit tracks, pitching mounds, turf training, and a full infield. And don't forget about the Napudi Wellness Center and STL Athletic Development, where kids get complete training for all sports. Eric Napudi and Leo Deering help put Champions Village at the top of every athlete's training regimen. Check us out at championsvillage.net.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet.
Hey, I remember this song.
Sunny side of the street.
As my grandson says, he says,
and
I remember.
A pitter-patter, and that happy tune is your step.
Little kids talk fun. Limey talks.
Life
fun.
Can be so sweet.
Thanks.
John Hadley talks funny.
Well, that's not even really talking.
That's just like
in shape,
mumbling.
With those blues on the rain. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
I don't like fancy learning books. I don't like apple tarts. I don't like cozy breakfast nooks. I don't like modern arts. Well, I like farts.
Ah.
Yes, I like farts. I like long farts, short farts, wet farts, your farts. I like farts if you've got hearts.
Oh, I've got hearts.
Let's hear those farts.
How do I start?
Well, Peter, I will help you get your farting started.
Crossed over.
What a way to start the show. How juvenile. Juvenile, delinquent way to start the show.
The only thing missing was Dan's harmonica. Would have completed it.
You know, we haven't had enough of that lately.
No.
It's been a while. We need to bring that back into the mix. Good afternoon, everybody. Well, this is our March 4th edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, and I think I said something last week about, thank goodness it's March, and through with that February, now we get some good weather in here.
Yeah.
Maybe not. This is, it'll end someday. It'll be over someday. Someday soon, it'll be spring again. Welcome, everybody, to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Welcome, kids of all ages, if you're a child or a father or a mother.
Uh-oh. Oh!
That's right.
He remembered.
Could have interrupted me. I remember today, could have interrupted me, but you didn't. So
wow.
I take the trophy home tonight.
Wow.
Wow.
So before we get to the Burke segment, Luke Perry, if you missed it in the news, dead at 52.
Yeah.
I never watched anything Luke Perry was in. I didn't watch Beverly Hills 90210. I don't watch this. What's this thing he's in now? Everglade?
Riverdale. I think it's, you know, the Archie comics? I think it's like the TV show set on that. It's like a Netflix original or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Boy, I gotta tell you something. A stroke. Oh. That's like, that's mm-hmm. the worst thing. I'm not afraid of just dropping dead or dying in my sleep, but I do not. And, well, who does want a stroke? And I think he's lucky, and it's a blessing, because better off dead than have a stroke and then hang around for, you know, 3 or 4 years in like a half vegetative state, drawn and drooling, and you can't speak. That's horrible. A stroke is a cruel, horrible thing. So yeah. I think it was so
massive, they said that the doctors sedated him and he was out, so it wouldn't cause more brain damage that had already happened.
Wow.
And
yeah, they do that sometimes, induced coma.
Yeah.
So yeah. So Luke Perry, 52. Sorry, I wish I had something else to say, but I don't know anything about it. I also never have watched an episode of Friends. I like Jennifer Aniston. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Courtney Cox, but I've never I know what it is. It's a group of friends.
Tony Conrad. There you go, yeah.
No, I'll say. I never watched that either because I was just too old to appreciate that group of, you know, 20-somethings who were all buddies. I was a Cheers guy and a MASH guy and have become a Seinfeld guy now that it's in reruns. So that was a kind of... Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you have a... When you talk about your jaw, is there like an upper jaw, or is the jaw just the lower part of the hinge, like your chin and your bottom teeth? I think
your jaw is where all the where the teeth are. I think that's part of your jaw. So yeah, you have your upper jaw and your lower jaw.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Your front teeth aren't part of your jaw, are they?
I think so. I think your jaw is
all of your teeth, and everything they're attached to. That's the whole jaw.
I believe so.
The jaw is what frames the teeth. The teeth aren't part of the jaw.
Right. But yeah, no. But like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, where your teeth are.
I think of jaw, though, I just think of the bottom part. You know, like that, your lower. That's what I think of. The only reason I mention it is like on the right side, I get this like sharp pain in my jaw. And it's weird. And here's the thing. When you get older, I've said this before, everything that happens, you think, oh, cancer, you know, jaw cancer. You do. You'll see, Limey. No, you'll see. You laugh now, but you'll see. You get 50, 60, and you'll have, when we were kids, we used to get them when we'd run, and they called them growing pains. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you inhale, and you can't really draw a full breath because it's like somebody stabbing you in the chest.
Oh, yeah, I used to call that.
Growing.
I used to call that a stitch.
A stitch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it used to come from running real hard. And then you just have to wait it out. Well, if that happens to you, you know, when you get older, you go, oh, heart attack. Or something's either cancer, heart attack, or if you get a little stomach ache, colon cancer. I mean, I'm sick of it. So, I get this jaw pain, and I guess it'll go away. I guess. I hope so. What else? We'll do the Burke segment, but then I have to actually retell a joke and address a joke that I've told for years, and you'll see why in a minute. But first, does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Well, and he said that in a way that sounded like maybe what he has is not exactly exciting or fun, maybe sad, almost tragic. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll find out.
I knew
his voice indicates to me serious. Tim Woodburn, it's all yours.
Actually, it is kind of fun and exciting what I have
You're
to
welcome.
Say today. You were completely inaccurate in your description of my tone. Thank you, Frank.
Well, sometimes I miss the mark, you know?
I want to say a special shout out to my stepfather, Don Staton. Today is his 70th birthday. You met him at the Kirkwood Brewhouse next door, Frank, about a year ago. And this past weekend, my former PI business partner, and he owns a cabin rental business in the middle of the Shawnee National Forest next to Garden of the Gods hiking trail, where you like walk out on these rocks that come out from the mountains and stuff and take goofy family pictures and stuff. So we rented out all six cabins and had his 70th birthday party this weekend. Of course, half the people that were going to come didn't show because they were afraid of the snow on the way back on Sunday.
Yeah, but sissies.
But 65% of the people showed. It was a fun time. We had a chili cook-off, and we had a baton death march hike that my legs are still recovering from today.
Wait, hold on. Oh, you went on a hike?
I went on two hikes.
Wow, you're asking for trouble. You're not. You don't look like a hiker. I'm not a hiker.
I know. The worst part of a hike is when it's an hour and a half long hike and the first 45 minutes is downhill. Guess what that second 45 minutes is?
Yeah.
Uphill. Yeah. So that was. I was wheezing so hard when the hike was over that after I would finish exhaling, you could hear the wheeze.
Your wheezer
come from
was
my
so
chest.
Hard.
Yeah, my wheezer. I said I was wheezing so hard, not my wheezer was hard.
Oh, I thought you said my wheezer was so hard.
No,
you must have really liked that hike.
Oh, that was cold. That was soft.
That hike.
Oh, that was soft. But but it was a fun time, and luckily I didn't see an ounce of snow flurry or wet pavement the entire drive back home. Missed it all.
Where was this? In Kansas? Or?
This is in southeastern Illinois. In Elizabethtown, my buddy owns a cabin rental business down there, and he's got like 70 acres of property, and there's three cabins on the north side and three on the south side, and they're all furnished, and they all have their own fire pits, and we made like this 20-foot tall bonfire, and it was a fun weekend. It was different.
And how many people?
Well, we were going to have about 42 people down there, and about 24 showed.
And this is family.
Yeah.
Family reunion.
Oh, yeah.
That could be a lot of fun, mm-hmm. unless, was there like one person there that nobody liked? Nobody, well, not except you, maybe.
Me.
But
yeah.
See, I beat you to it. No, seriously, was there that uncle that everybody's kind of embarrassed is in the family? Or
that's
or
me.
There one?
That, yeah, you nailed it.
Was it?
Yeah, me. No, I was teasing. No, everybody got along. There's no fights, no nothing. No fuss,
and when
no
you
much.
Say chili cook-off, did they as like a competition?
Oh yeah, yeah. There was five.
See, that would be good.
Five different pots of chili, and you had to put them in anonymous crock pots, and we had ballot boxes and ballots and everything, and then we had to vote on who won, and then the person that won was given a trophy, and everybody else had to bow down in a "we're not worthy" pose for Facebook bragging rights for a year.
Wow.
That's who won? Fun.
And my stepdad won. It was the party was for him. Him and my mom don't agree on anything. They couldn't even agree on how to submit a family chili, so they each made their own.
Oh, they did? Yeah. They competed against each other?
They did.
Wow.
Wow.
Sounds fun.
And what's funny is that my stepdad's was the spiciest, which I thought was the worst one, and it won because there are a lot of people in my family likes. I mean, he had jalapenos in there and hot ghost pepper, ghost powder, and all this other stuff. My mouth was on fire eating that chili, but his won, so good for him. Congratulations to him.
Yeah, there's certain things. You have certain foods that you can't eat unless you have something else to eat with them. I'll give you a couple of examples. If I'm going to eat like a tuna sandwich or a turkey sandwich, I want potato chips. I mean, like regular Lay's real potato, not some gluten-free cardboard crap. And if I eat chili, I have to have crackers, just saltine crackers. Chili is not nearly as enjoyable to me if I don't have crackers.
You like those little oyster crackers that
I
they
love
give you
those
sometimes?
Oyster crackers.
Well, that's better than no crackers. I'd rather just have the saltines. But every once in a while, like I'll bring chili home from Wendy's. I like Wendy's chili or Steak and Shake chili. And I get home, and we don't have any crackers. It ruins. And the other thing I have to have is cold milk. Chili crackers and ice-cold milk. Like tiny ice chips in it. It's so cold.
Have you ever...
I don't want to... I don't want a Coke with chili. I don't want tea with chili. I don't want any beer. I want a milk, cold milk.
Have you ever tried using the goldfish crackers in your chili? That's delicious.
Oh, heavens.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the cheesy crackers in with the chili. Oh, it's good.
I guess
good.
That would be good. How
it's
about
real good.
How about like Ritz?
No.
I dump Ritz crackers
what are you,
in there.
What, made of money? Come on.
No, regular.
Well, I get
crackers.
The store brand.
I'll tell you where the one chili, the oyster crackers
Oldie.
Work. For me, it would be Steak and Shake. Now, Steak and Shake, if I dump a couple of packets of those oyster crackers, I'm good with that. I don't have to have the other saltine crackers.
I can make Steak and Shake chili. I've done it before.
I'm going to tell you a problem with Steak and Shake chili. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's got a great chili base.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is they make it in this big vat, and it's so thin that the meat dips to the bottom. So when you order it, you got to ask them, can you scoop it down there deep? And if
get down and, get and, deep. Get down.
Exactly. And Steak and Shake also now offers extra meat only. Like if you want to have additional meat into your chili, you can get that on the side now at Steak and Shake because it's too beany. It's too beany and it's too chili based unless you dig down there.
I agree. I love the juice, but it's too much juice. I didn't know that. I'll go for
more meat. Oh, I like it soupy.
More meat.
I'll request it soupy instead of really meaty and stuff.
I like it when it's got a little bit of grease floating on top of it.
Ooh.
No.
Oh.
Now you're talking. No. Anything else, Tim?
No.
Anybody else? Work segment?
I met a listener on Friday called Mark. Hello, Mark. Hope you had a good weekend. That's about it.
Oh, that's a great thanks. That's a great story.
Fascinating story.
Dan, nothing?
Well, we went down. Yeah, I have something. Went down to the Mardi Gras Soulard for the first time ever on Saturday.
And you showed your boobs and got some beads?
I did. I got lots of beads. We didn't actually go for the parade. We went down for a party. It was like a private party at a business. And it was right there in Soulard. And that is absolutely insane to get into there. And he gave us...
I would never even attempt to do that.
He gave us a back way to get in. You have to go down... through Laclede's Landing, Lenore K. Sullivan Boulevard, come up, and you end up on Broadway. Broadway is not closed off, and that's where his business is, on Broadway.
So now you're a back door man?
Yes. We came in the back door, and I had a great time. It was just a big old party.
So you like the back doorway.
Yeah, that was great.
Did you have your sausage in the front, or did you like it in the rear?
No, the sausage was in the front, but, but we came in the back door.
See, this is where, if somebody said to me, I don't care if it's New Orleans or St. Louis, you want to go get right in the middle of a big Marty? No, I don't. No, yeah. Thank you. Well, we'll give you $500. No, thank you. I don't think so. Give me $1,000. I'll go down there for an hour. But I don't care for that stuff. I don't want to smell, spilled beer, and I don't like it.
Oh, well, we saw in the time when we got out of the car and we're walking to the place. We saw a couple of people fall down.
That's always good.
And we came out, and somebody else fell down, and there were the horse and carriage, the carriage and stuff. They were all over the place down there over the weekend.
Did you help them up, or did you step over them, or what did you do?
Probably they were a distance away. We couldn't. I wasn't going to go over and help them up or do anything. They were trashed.
He's going to go over there and steal their drink.
Yeah.
I don't want to help a drunk person because they might vomit on you.
I know.
And then, got that all the way home in your car.
Are you trying to pick them up and then they start doing that running the other way or that unbalanced, run, and they're going to take you down with them?
Or they get belligerent. I'm fine. Let me alone. I'm fine.
Yeah.
So, no thanks. Was that it?
Yeah, that was it.
All right. Burke segment's officially closed. Did anybody here watch part one? There are two parts of this Leaving Neverland, this Michael Jackson documentary.
No, I was going to watch it tonight.
I have not.
Blimey, get ready, buddy.
Yeah.
I've not seen much in my life like this thing. It is explicit, and it's essentially you listening to the stories of these two boys. Well, they were boys at the time, 7, 8, and they're grown now. And I had pretty much decided that Michael Jackson was not a pedophile, that he was just a weird, weird guy who didn't have a childhood, and he was childlike, and he just liked to play with kids. Either these two guys are the greatest actors that ever lived, or Michael Jackson was a sick, child-molesting weirdo. You will not believe this, Limey, when you watch it. And their stories, I read a couple of articles on it, and it said that the two guys who are now grown separately, when they told authorities their stories about what had happened, they were right in sync. In other words, one kind of mirrored the other one, Jackson's sort of, how should I put this, the way that he sort of started by doing this and then graduated to this and on to this and on to this, the stories match. Two completely different people from two completely, one kid's from Australia, one kid, yet all the whole sequence of events for each of them was so similar that the chances that they both get together and make it up, which I got to tell you something. Right now, after watching this, and part two is tonight, I can't say that I actually think Michael Jackson was just a victim of a showbiz upbringing and a mean dad and never had a childhood and just wanted to entertain kids and build a park for kids. I can't say that anymore. I don't know. But if I had to, after watching that, if somebody said, you have to make a call, do you or don't you think he was a pedophile? I'd have to go, yeah, I do.
Is it?
It's some bizarre stuff you're going to hear.
Is it just following, like, this whole documentary? Is it just following the story of the two boys? Or are we going to see other people come out in the second half?
I don't know. I haven't seen the second half. It's not until tonight. But what you do get a sense of is that, one, why now would these boys give all these explicit details? There's nothing in it for them now, because they make clear at the end of the documentary they didn't get paid a dime to be in this documentary. Now, there's nothing in it for them unless they both together would, by some bizarre chance, want to still be in the limelight. This is not something you'd want to be in the limelight for, because they are very open about what they did to him and allowed him to do to them. And it's really graphic. They don't mince words.
Or write a book or something, maybe.
Wow. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I don't think that if you haven't been molested, if you haven't been the victim of a really clever pedophile, I don't think that you'd be smart enough to manufacture in your head the routine and the strategy of a pedophile. I don't think you're capable of thinking like a pedophile. I think you have to have been the victim of one to lay out the way they do his behavior. And that's all I know to say.
But what is this on?
It's on HBO. My wife had to stop watching it. I mean, it's that disturbing. But some of the evidence they have, there's a lot of evidence about how much time Michael Jackson spent, especially with this one boy, and his name escapes me, and he's sort of the focus of the thing. It is an unnatural amount of time. This kid was in a Pepsi commercial with Michael Jackson. They held auditions. He was a cute kid. And he, as a little kid, he could moonwalk, and he loved Michael Jackson. He could do an impression of Michael Jackson as a little kid. And so he interviewed and tried out for a part in a Pepsi commercial, and he got it. So he goes to the set. There's Michael Jackson. He's in the commercial, and that's how it started. And Michael took a liking to this kid. And at one point, the mom is interviewed a lot, and his brother and his sister, the kid who was the victim of Michael Jackson. And at one point, she says that they lived in Australia, and when they finally were ready to go back home, after Michael had begged and insisted, stay, come to Neverland, stay for a few days, stay for a week, let me take your son here and there, that at one point when they're ready to go back, he calls the mom and eventually meets with her for like 2 hours and all but begs her to leave the kid here for a year with him.
What?
Now, that is just not normal. And his reasoning was, because the kid was naturally, he was a talented dancer, he'd been in some commercials, he said, you know, I can do more for his career than anyone. If you would leave him in my care, I'll be able to open doors and get him in show business. You know, now, maybe. But then a weird thing happened. The mom, and you'll see this in the documentary, this kid's mom leaves her husband and her other kids and gets on a plane out of Australia to come and just live in L.A. so the kid could be near Michael Jackson. She wouldn't let him go alone, but so she moved here with him and left her husband. And I mean, she went nuts. And so they get over here, and they're not here long at all, and all of a sudden Michael isn't showing the kid anywhere near the attention he said he would because he had met Macaulay Culkin. And Macaulay Culkin now is getting all of Michael's attention. I'm going to tell you, folks, if you watch this thing, you'll see a pattern that is absolutely not in any way a normal pattern of behavior for a grown man. What grown man asks a mom? And you say, well, how do we know that he asks her, that he asked her to leave her son here and go back to Australia and just leave him with Michael for a year? I believe every word she said. There are so many pictures. When you see how many notes and videos, happy birthday, I love you. You know, Michael would take the time to set up a camera and send video message to this kid. He'd call and be on the phone for hours. They have phone records to prove all of it. He spent hundreds of hours with this kid. Kid would come to Neverland. Michael would take him shopping with him. And the kid's sister, at one time when the whole family was over here as a guest of Michael's, the sister confirmed the story that when Michael took her and this little boy, her brother, into shop anywhere where there were toys or fun things, he would just give each one of them a shopping cart and go, fill it up with anything you want in the store. There's no limit. If you want to buy everything in the store, just buy it. And she said, yeah. And you think, well, this is fantastic. This is the great. But it was all it was for was to entice, to seduce, to get the kid right where he wanted him, so that he never wanted to leave Michael's side again, because there's just too much to gain materially. There are too many toys, too many rides, too many places to go, private jet. You don't want to give that up. And like many pedophiles, he said that Michael many, many, many times said that if at any point anybody suspected anything, you've never to say anything because the world wouldn't understand true love. This is God's way of expressing love. And a lot of people, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. It's called Leaving Neverland. First one, you can HBO Go or stream it or whatever. You can see the one that ran, was it last night, I guess? And then the second part tonight. Now here's the part. I'll just throw this out. The only thing that makes me question, and this really is the only thing that makes me question the, not dozens, maybe hundreds of times he had sexual encounters with these kids, is that Neverland had a massive staff of people. I mean, cooks and guards, security, ride operators, the zookeeper. I mean, you're talking dozens and dozens of people, not to mention the three full-time bodyguards. How could all of this have happened and nobody say, all right, that's it? Now I think it was a maid at Neverland who did testify in Jackson's trial that, yes, she did see him taking a shower with the little boy. Okay, right there, to me. Bingo, that's just not, if it's your child, you know, we've all showered with our little bitty kids. Sometimes it's the way you can only get all the dirt off of them when they come in. They're two and they've been playing in the mud. You throw them in the shower with you. But somebody who's not your child, who's 7, 8, 10 years old, taking a shower? Nah. But he was very clever. They show the inside of Neverland. They show the police footage when they raided the house, the video of every room in that house. He had locks and triple locks and ways of knowing when people were coming, alarms and alerts and whatever. And all that leads you to wonder, why? Why would you need that? Why would you need to know somebody's on the way to the room so you can... They did drills, he said, about how to get dressed real quickly in case somebody was coming. It is so believable and so credible that, again, either these people, these grown men now, are either the world's greatest liars, or this Michael Jackson was one sick weirdo. So, you watch it and you tell me. But I also went back on YouTube and I watched Michael Jackson on camera denying all these charges, and that was believable. He, too, was a great actor. He was a showman. And when he's looking right into the camera and he said, what they're doing to me is wrong. It's just wrong. I'm just a man that loves children, and I would like to help children have a wonderful life. And for people to accuse me of these horrible, horrible things, it's just wrong. And I'm thinking, oh, you poor victim, you poor guy, you're right. It's terrible that they would turn. Then I watch this thing, and I go, okay, you conned us. It's really... really well done. And I don't think there's an agenda here. I don't think, why would HBO now, 10 years after his death, you know, want to hang Michael Jackson out and crucify him? There'd be no real reason to. Yeah, the ratings are going to be, I'm sure, huge for this thing. But there's just too much there. When I saw things I'd never seen before, the amount of pictures and notes and phone calls, it's almost like Michael Jackson didn't have time. How did he have time to record or put on a show? He's spending all his time with these kids.
That's a big thing with investigative news agencies now, though, Frank, is that when anniversaries of things go down, they reinvestigate it, and it's like a re-reporting. And I'll give you two examples. You're talking about the 10-year anniversary of this happening. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch just last month did a huge expose on the 10-year anniversary of Sean Hornbeck being found after Michael Devlin kidnapped him. And another one is... it's just on the tip of my tongue. The NBA referee Tim Donaghy, who was fixing games while he was reffing him. ESPN just did this huge 10-year anniversary of what went down and why he did it and how he did it, and gave all kinds of new details that nobody knew before. And it's almost like it's becoming a news media thing to do that on anniversaries of things.
Okay, but on the one hand, I could say, okay, it's been 10 years, who cares, drop it. But on the other hand, and you know this, Tim, over the course of the last 10 years, I'm sure there have been lots of things that have come out since he died that we didn't know.
Updating the story, as it were.
Exactly. And to remind everybody that just because somebody's famous, just because they're nice and gentle and kind and generous, and this young man now, who is a man, says over and over throughout this whole thing, he was the kindest, gentlest, most generous, caring, loving person I've ever known. He says that. And he even said, I read an article this morning where they, and Oprah apparently has done some big sit down with both of these boys, I'm sorry, these men, and she asked him the question, why under oath, during the trial, did you swear under oath that he never did anything sexual with you? And they said, because we had given Michael our word. It's almost like they were, Michael actually called them his little soldiers, and loyalty was everything. And the most astonishing statement I read this morning, where one of these boys, I think the boy who's the primary focus of the documentary, he says, now, even after this documentary, telling the truth and saying, he says, I still almost feel guilty that I've thrown Michael under the bus and that I've told the truth about him. I kind of almost feel bad that I'm doing this to him. That's the kind of power he had over them. And that's the kind of loyalty they felt to him. I'm telling you, man, it's a tremendous study in the psychology of abuse victims and of pedophiles. And he's so good that to this day, there is except for the testimony of these boys, there is no concrete. I think when they raided Jackson's house, they found some porn, right? They found some magazines and some video porn.
So, yeah.
Well, that's not against the law. You can have porn. And this young man said that when he was, you know, 7, 8, 10, Michael loved to show him porn. I mean, hardcore porn. And he also loved to sit with him and watch cartoons. Now, what a drastic, you talk about one extreme to the other. He'd sit there and giggle and laugh like a little kid at cartoons, and then, let's watch some porn.
That's weird.
Wow. What a weirdo. And then you get people that just go ballistic if you even imply the guy was a pedophile. They get mad.
The diehard Michael Jackson fans.
Yeah. I need a big lesson here. Now, how many parents are going to have kids who have a superstar take the kid under the wing? Not very many. But all the same stuff applies to that sort of weird scoutmaster or priest or preacher or school teacher. All the same stuff applies. They may not have that money, and they may not be able to take them shopping to buy everything, but they still go out of their way to spend an unnatural amount of time with them. And the mom, to this day, you can tell, she admits, she says, you know, my husband, when I left to go take my son to be with Michael, he said, I lost my mind. And she said, I did. I lost my mind. But that was the power. She said, think about it. Michael Jackson came to our home, stayed all night with us, cooked in our house, played with my son, went with us, the parent. Here we are, best friends with the biggest superstar at the time in the world. She says, wow, we couldn't believe it. How could you not get caught up in that? I'm going to fly your whole family on the private jet. I can't wait to get out to Neverland. Well, what do you say? Nah. Not interested. Don't want to go. And when she would question him, Michael, it doesn't seem right. He would almost make her feel guilty of accusing him of that. He was masterful. It's I'm not gonna keep talking about it. I'm glad I watched it. I can't wait to watch the next part. And if as much as I'm sick of Oprah, I don't have any choice because she's the one, to her credit, she's pretty smart. She does the, I think it's called After Neverland or something. It's the sequel to the two parts of the documentary where she sits and questions these boys and gets them to talk more about the whole time they spent with Michael Jackson. And then I saw a guy on a network, an NBC News guy, but it aired on HBO, and he said he watched it. And he said, I will never again listen to a Michael Jackson song. He said, for as much as I love Michael Jackson's music, I will never, after watching this, listen to any of his music. I'll never stream a song, not put another penny in that estate. And on one hand, that's what you want to do. But on the other hand, if you did that, let's say if you tried to never listen to a song or look at a TV show or watch a movie, Harvey Weinstein. Okay, well, what a sleazeball. I'll never watch one of his. Well, then you can't watch about half the movies that are out there because look at the beginning of them, a Weinstein production. So the product is already finished. It's done. I guess we can enjoy it, and we can't look at it as if we're supporting somehow the weird lifestyle of these people. Now,
you could listen to the music of Norman.
Well, yeah, you could.
Yeah.
You could.
Yeah.
Now, this Alabama tornado, I'm from the South. I'm from Tennessee. We had a lot of tornadoes. I was in a tornado as a kid. Did you see this thing? This tornado has just killed more people than all of the tornadoes in the United States killed last year. Ooh. More people died in this Alabama tornado than every tornado in this country last year.
Yeah. What are they saying? It was an EF4 category tornado. That's pretty
cool.
160 miles per hour.
Wow.
The winds.
I remember. It was about.
Do they have those, by the way, in England? They don't have tornadoes in England.
No, absolutely not. I think we had one hurricane back in 1986, apparently, off the coast of Dover. And it, like, ruined a town, but they're still arguing if that was actually a real hurricane. But I remember once, it was in 2013, I think, or 2012, I was down at Fort Leonard Wood working at a radio station, and we had an EF5 come through, and it hit that base. And, I mean, there were two barracks buildings that were just reduced to nothing. A couple of the houses had their roofs ripped off, and I remember the storm and all the winds on the outside, and we were about a mile away from the actual eye of the storm, and it was still intense. Like, it was not something to be messing around with.
Well, we're going to bring Norman in here, but before we do, I've stood right in the middle of where a tornado was, and you can watch TV all you want to or the overhead shots from the helicopter, but till you're standing looking around at what used to be houses, you really don't get it until you see it firsthand. It's unbelievable.
I've been
how
in four tornadoes
are.
Growing You've up been in Florissant. Yeah,
wow.
Four of them.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
I was only in one bad one when I was a kid. It was in Tennessee. It was at my aunt's house. And, get down, get on the floor. They didn't have a basement there. And I remember looking out. I couldn't help it. I went and looked out the window, which you shouldn't do. And I remember watching a bicycle just fly like it was a helicopter. Just fly by right across the front yard of the house. Just through the air. There goes a bicycle. All right, let's ring. Let's have the Norman's theme. There we go. Line it up here with some good kazoo entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, from Sullivan, Missouri, let's say hello to Norman. Hello, Norman.
Hi, how are you?
Or maybe I could play hello on my kazoo. Hang on. That's your theme song. Well, a lot of kazoos going. What's going on, Norman?
Oh, well, it's okay. I'm okay.
You're okay?
Yeah.
Good.
Got snow down here.
Snow down in Sullivan?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. About 4 or 5 inches, I think we got.
Well, stay out of it. Stay out. You don't want to fall and hurt yourself.
Yeah.
So just stay inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am. I can't shovel like I used to.
Yeah, most of us can't shovel.
I need a walker to get around with.
You do? Yeah. You have a walker now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can put a shovel on the walker there and just walk out and shovel the driveway with that.
Yeah, as you're walking, you're plowing. It's like a plow walker. You push forward and you plow snow while you're walking. You pick up a couple extra bucks.
Yeah.
He went for that.
Yeah.
So, Norman, tell us something new. What's new with you?
Got some here I want to play for you. Happy birthday, wall caller. This month I have a birthday at the end of this month.
Yeah.
I'll play.
When's your birthday, Norman?
March the 30th.
And how old are you?
Born March the 30th, 1938, in Oregon City, Oregon.
Okay, which will make you 71?
No, 81, right?
81.
Yeah.
Well, my math's not very good.
I have a friend. He'll be 71 same day. I'm 10 years older than he is.
Well, now, hang on a minute. Not so fast. 71. You're 81. He'll be 71. You just say 10 years. You just blurted it out there. Yeah. Let's see. We got a calculator here. 81 minus 71. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
10 years. 81, 71. Yeah. You're absolutely right. 10 years. Yeah. That was my thing. I don't have the whistle. Yeah, the whistling thing. Yeah. So you're going to play a happy birthday for us? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we can't wait. Now, your kazoo is a professional model. It actually sounds almost like humming. Mine is a cheap one. It has a kind of a, you know, a tinny sound to it. Yeah. Yours sounds almost like human humming.
Yeah, I'll play the wedding march here.
Ooh.
For those who are getting married,
this takes on a whole new meaning for me because my daughter, we're still in the middle of that planning thing, is getting married in October. So,
hey.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. I don't think Norman wants to fly to Las Vegas to play the kazoo at my daughter's wedding. Go ahead, Norman. We're ready.
Awesome.
Accompanied you. I hope you don't mind with my kazoo. I hope that's okay.
Yeah, it's all right. It sounds pretty good.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I've been practicing.
Yeah, I get
how's your girlfriend, Rosemary Butler? How old is she, pretty, Norman?
She's 75.
She? Ooh, young gal.
Sly dog.
Uh-huh.
Cradle robber.
Have you seen her lately?
No. Just talk
I've never heard it. I've never heard it called the lately before.
Oh.
I've heard a lot of names for it, but not lately. Have you seen her lately? Get it, Norman?
No.
You don't? Good. You're better off not to get there.
Oh, I got something else here.
What?
Yeah, Mr. Pug, let's go places.
What was that, Norman? That was great. What was it? The horse sound, Mr. Pug?
Mr. Ed.
The audience loves it.
Who's Mr. Pug?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's your answer. Who's Mr. Pug? Yeah.
The horse.
Oh.
Do you, obviously, you watched Mr. Ed. You remember... Mr. Ed's owner's name, the guy that owned him, Mr. Ed would call him by name. Remember his name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was it?
Mm.
Wilbur.
Wilbur Post.
Wilbur Post.
Yeah.
Wow, very good. Very good. Now, we got about 2 minutes left here. Is there anything else? Would you like to say hello to Rosemary Butler or anything else, whatever you want to do?
I'd like to say hello to... Russell Zeller, he used to play the drums, and say hello to Richard Bassani. He played the accordion, and John Chapman played the bass guitar.
Did they all play in the same band?
I played my mother's Westbrook guitar and played the kazoo. Yeah, it was a pretty good band.
Now, hang on here. What's a Whisper guitar? Band. What's a Whisper guitar? What is that?
Westbrook guitar. And I played the kazoo along with them.
Do you still play the guitar?
Yeah.
Well, why? You've never played guitar for us, have you?
No.
No.
Do you have access to a guitar?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you, next time, would you play guitar for us?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you think you're better at, kazoo or guitar? Which one are you better at, kazoo or guitar?
Kazoo and guitar.
Kazoo and guitar.
Kazoo and guitar. That's a good answer. Yeah. All right, Norman. Well, it was nice checking in with you again. And be safe, be careful.
Till we meet again.
Peace be with us all until we meet again. Okay, that's a great way to close. Thank you, Norman.
Hey,
okay. Give him his music, theme music going out. He deserves
it. Sorry, no, I already closed it out. My bad.
Oh, closed it out. Boy, how insulting to Norman. I'm glad he didn't mind if I played along.
I'm looking forward to the guitar playing next time.
I'm looking over a four-leaf clover. See what I did there? Hey, I have to do some business, and the first part of the business is our favorite place to bank, First Community Credit Union. I hope you enjoyed the yard sale Saturday morning. And if somebody out there is going, what? Yard sale? I didn't know that was on this date. Yeah, it has been for like almost a year and a half now. The original yard sale, same sponsor, First Community Credit Union, Saturday morning, 7 to 9 o'clock. You can make up for it by listening next Saturday morning. But here is what I really want you to think about, and that's changing where you do your banking, unless you're already a member of First Community. And if you are, thank you for that, and I hope when you get a chance, you tell them, hey, I'm AM and the PM, and thanks for the yard sale. Now, if you're not, then I hate to say this, and I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings or make anybody mad, but you're not really AM and the PM. I'm sorry. You might say you are. You know, I'm AM and the PM. But if you're not banking, doing your banking at First Community Credit Union, you're like maybe 80% AM and the PM. See, if you're 100% AM and the PM, you got a car from Londolf, your financial advice comes from Mark and Jason, your kitchen or bath will be or was done by Thompson Price, and you bank at First. You see, get the idea? All the way down the line like that. And you get your dental work at Balance Dental Care. Otherwise, you're just sort of partly AM and the PM. Now, this changing banks thing is pretty easy. You go in, you close your accounts, and you reopen them at the First Community Credit Union. And I think you'll be glad you did that. And when you do that, they're going to try to stop you. Well, why are you closing your accounts? Is there anything we can do? Say, no. No, there's not. There's not. Goodbye. You never paid much attention to me until now when you realize that I'm closing out my accounts. I'm going to go somewhere where they acknowledge me. And when you do, I think you'll be glad you did. It is a great place to bank. So whether it's personal banking or you have a small business, they love small businesses. Great small business banking partner, First Community Credit Union. Over 40 locations, the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. Fresh popcorn at every location and really nice people and great competitive rates. More at firstcommunity.com. Now, I was supposed to do a Thompson Price, but I don't have time. So I wouldn't do him justice, so we're going to save that. I saw a movie over the weekend that is a very bizarre movie, and I don't think it's for everybody, but it got great Rotten Tomatoes numbers, and so I thought, okay, well, if like 89% of the people liked it, I'll see it. And it's Fighting With My Family with Vince Vaughn. And I say with Vince Vaughn because I don't know the names of the other people. It's a true story. If you like wrestling, I mean, especially if you like wrestling, you'll love this movie because it is a true story about a female wrestler who came over from Limey from Great Britain.
Yeah, I know a story.
It really is an interesting story. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it, Fighting With My Family. We'll talk more about that later. And then I got a couple of stories to share with you. And, of course, we got the Playhouse. We'll speak with John Londolf here after the news, and then we'll check in with Josh Bauman. So if you have a technical question, you're shopping for a TV, your computer, you got a question about your phone, this is the guy. He's an IT guy. I mean, like a big deal IT guy. He knows a lot of stuff. So get ready. We'll give you the numbers when we come out of the news. Stay where you are. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis. And 590thefan.com. The home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. The cleanup is just beginning after what the National Weather Service says was a powerful EF4 tornado devastated Lee County in eastern Alabama yesterday. Governor Kay Ivey says she's asked President Trump for an emergency disaster declaration, and he has responded that FEMA will
give the state of Alabama their A-plus treatment for the state and for all the wonderful people that live here.